5 of Acts. Start with verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it sold, was it not in your own power? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? Thou hast not lied to men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. And Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried your husband are at the door and shall carry you out. And she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And there came also a multitude out of the cities round about into Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. And with the high priest and the captains of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them, and whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told him, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? Behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him has God exalted with his right hand to be prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood up one of the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to be put the apostles forth a little space, and said to them, you men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thaddeus, however you pronounce it there, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this arose up Judah of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished.
And all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say to you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. There's some good stuff. Let's go back to the first verse again. But a certain man named Ananias. What do you think it means? Whom God has graciously given, or a cloud of the Lord, a cloud of the Lord. God gave him something. With Sapphira, one who relates or tells, okay, is what her name means. The wife sold a possession. And verse 2, they kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, or they agreed to it, and brought a certain part and laid it to the apostles' feet. Now, let me ask you a question. Did anything say here that they had to sell everything they had and bring it to the apostles? Beg pardon? Well, the parcel of land they're talking about was just a plot of land. Okay, whatever size was immaterial. But what they had, and here's the problem with the whole thing. It wasn't the fact that they kept back part of it. It was the fact they lied about it. It was the deception involved. No one told them they had to do that. So what they did was, they brought it in and said, here's all the money we got for the land. But they had a pocket full yet. Even if it was a little bit, they lied, didn't they? It wasn't that they were told to do it. It said everybody did it because of the condition of their heart. When you give, why should you give? Because your heart tells you to give, not because something written on a piece of paper tells you. Nothing written as a law tells you, but because of the heart, okay? When Abraham first gave, why did he give? From his heart. The first tithe that was recorded in Genesis chapter 14. Abram gave from his heart. No one told him to do it. He did what he felt right in his heart. Okay? And they weren't giving it because they wanted to. They gave because they wanted to look like everybody else. And you'd be surprised how many pieces of people in the churches, when the basket gets passed around, do you know how much condemnation and guilt gets put on people? Because they don't have money to give, or they can't afford to that week or whatever. Do you know how much they give? Because they're forced to. They're embarrassed into it. I never had a problem with it. I mean, I just never did. If it went by, I just handed somebody else. I ain't got nothing to give you. You know, if I don't have nothing to give, what am I supposed to do? Sell my kids and get it? And, you know, no, that ain't going to happen. But people are forced into it. The church world has realized that. That's why they pass them baskets. They say it's for convenience, but it's to condemn you and put a guilt complex on you to give to them. That's exactly. I've seen it pass 3 and 4 times because they didn't get enough. They could go back and count. That ain't enough. Pass it again. That's not God. Okay? But they kept part of this and laid it at the apostles' feet saying, you know, that's what they were saying. This is what we got for our property. See, they were wanting to look like everybody else, but we weren't committed to this thing. We're not going to give you everybody else is giving. We're going to say we did, and we're going to keep this part back. So there's deception involved. So you can say their heart wasn't in it, right? They didn't have their heart in it. But Peter said, Ananias, why has the accuser filled your mind to lie to the Holy Ghost? We know that this heart pump in our chest doesn't tell lies, does it? And we know that this thing called Satan is our mind to start with, okay? This accuser, that's the thing that accuses you every day. To lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land. What do you think Peter was doing right there? What do you think he was functioning in? What was he functioning in when Ananias came in and did this? He was working with the gift of knowledge. Peter didn't know, but God let him know right away, hey, the man's lying to you. It's called the word of knowledge. Okay? One of the gifts. While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your power? He's saying, hey, look, it was yours all along. No one told you to do this. You're doing it because you want to look like everybody else and be accepted. But guess what? You brought deception in. You lied. You didn't have to lie. You just didn't have to give anything if you didn't want to. They could have come and brought the money in and said, sold my property, but I'm keeping part of it and giving you that part of it. And that would have been fine too. But it was the lying. It was the deception that was the problem. It was not the money. Okay? It was the way he thought about the money that made it bad. Him and his wife. He said, while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your power? Why have you placed this thing in your heart? Not conceived, but placed this thing in your heart or your mind. You have not lied to men, but to God. You thought you could deceive God. You know how many people think they can deceive God today? Most of them. Most people do. They really think they can get by with it. The people that do these things think they can get by with it. I don't think any of them said, I'm going to do this. I know God's going to catch me anyway, but I'm going to do it anyway. They do it because they think they can get by with it, don't they? And it said, Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and expired or died. And great fear came upon all them that heard these things. What do you think they thought about Peter then? If I was to sit in here and somebody bring it in and I'd say, why did you lie for and confront them and they drop dead at my feet, do you think there'd be an investigation? We'd be labeled cult and they'd be crawling up our noses everywhere, wouldn't they? But people would be afraid. And see, we shouldn't fear because who was in control of this? God was. Peter didn't do anything. He just asked him why he lied and he fell down. He probably thought he was in trouble. And said the young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in and Peter responded to her or began to speak to her. Said, tell me whether you sold the land for this much money. And she said, yeah, for that much. And Peter said to her, why is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried your husband are at the door and shall carry you out. And then she fell down instantly and expired. And the young men came in and found her dead and carrying her forth and buried her by her husband. And great fear fell upon all the, who? The church, the called out ones. Something's wrong here. Fear is not of God. What is it from? The carnal mind. See, the accuser puts that fear on you. That just tells you, okay, you're called out, but does that mean you've got everything figured out yet? It's a process. He that endures to the end will be saved or delivered, right? As many as heard these things, when they heard they fell down, why do you think, good question, I like to ask questions. If you were in a situation and you heard that these people brought the money to their house but lied to the church, to the preacher, and you dropped dead, why do you think everybody was in fear? You think there was any other liars out there? Come on, think about it. Why would there be fear? If you're living right, what difference does it make what happens to that person over there that did something wrong? Do you hear me? See, I'm not to be concerned with your life and how you're living your life, but I'm to be concerned with my life. If I'm doing what I'm supposed to, what you do is up to you. See, but when they heard he dropped dead, Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead for lying to Peter, do you know how kind of fear went through the rest of them? Oh my God. What have I done? How many more you think kept back? I don't know. There's no record of it. There was a bunch of them, I'm sure. I'm sure of it. But see, they think they can fool God. That's why they do it. But all God's saying here, and I don't think he was the only one that did it by any stretch of the imagination. But God's saying, I can do what I want to. Just let you know, you haven't fooled me one bit. You haven't fooled me one bit. You can lie to a preacher and get by with it, but you're not going to lie to God. And if he wants to deal with it, he will in his own way. We're left 12. And through the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Now, what's this about Solomon's porch? What's about Solomon's porch is so amazing. They didn't just say they were at the temple or something. They could have. Solomon's porch means they were still sitting under the law. Still under the covering of the law. See, they were, quote, church folk. They're still like the church today. They say, oh, we're living under grace and mercy. We're under the new covenant. Then quit telling anybody do and don't do. If you truly live under the law, then stop quoting the law. Do you hear me? Quit telling everybody, you've got to do this and God will accept you, or don't do this or God won't accept you. That's law, isn't it? Isn't that what the law did? Well then, that's what he's trying to portray to us here. They're still sitting under the law, even though we've been called out, even though we're children of God, just like Peter. He made his mistakes too. He tried to put them back under circumcision, didn't he? All these things, see, it's a process of going through. Know that because God calls you, you're not finished with your walk yet. As long as you're here, you're walking because God's got something to work out of you. You hear me? It's about you getting your life right, not pointing at somebody else. It's to watch yourself and get yourself straightened out. So they were all still sitting under the law. And of the rest, dared no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. See, they were afraid of the apostles. Why? Because of guilt and condemnation that the law brought upon them. Because of the law is guilt and condemnation. Now, Paul said, because I didn't even know covetousness was a problem until the law came, and it put a spotlight on it and saw that I was covetous. See, there was a reason for the law. But the law has been fulfilled at this point. The sacrifice has been made. The resurrection has taken place. Okay? The fullness of the Spirit has came in chapter 2. We're in chapter 5. It's already taken place. But we don't believe it. We have a mental assent that this stuff all happened. But we don't have the reality of experience in our lives of what went down in this book. We haven't personalized it into our life. That's what gives you the change. See, reading this as a history book will never change you. But realizing it's something experiential to put into your life to apply to how you live your life, that will change you. That's the only thing it'll change you, is applying these principles into your life. Do you hear me? You've got to get out of the box that religion has drawn for you. Get out of that box. You know, we tell our kids sometimes, don't collar outside the lines. If you want to go outside the lines and collar, go anywhere you want to. Guess what God's got in your heart to do? Go do it. Didn't say it's right. I said do whatever God told you to do. And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. Now, the word multitudes, both men and women. Why do you think it says the multitudes, both men and women? How about this? In the Old Testament, even into the days of Jesus walking the earth, what was a woman considered as? A piece of property. They were not equal to men. What do you think he put this in here for? They were added to the apostles, men and women. Why did he say humanity? He showed you a difference because he's saying men and women are now equal. You know, see, what's it say? There is no male and female in Christ. We are all one. Right? He's trying to show you. Jesus came to restore what was taken away from the women. That their equality back with men should be the same. In God's eyes, there's no difference. One's wearing a man's suit. One's wearing a woman's suit. But inside, they're both men, Christ. Aren't they? That's the whole point. Insomuch as they brought forth the sick to the streets. The word street's not a good word here. It's the plateia, the word plateia, and it means the open squares. They brought them into the city. Their streets in their cities. Have you ever seen those cities over there in Israel? Little tiny narrow things. You couldn't hardly walk down them, two people. Okay? This word here is talking about the open square in the center of the city where everybody congregated to do their business. They brought them out there where they could get it done. They had enough room. So Larry the Cable Guy didn't invent that word, get her done, did he? They had that a long time ago. He just got famous for it. And laid them on beds and mattresses in order that at least the shadow of Peter passing by, cross out the word might, in order that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by overshadows some of them. So they were saying, if the shadow off of Peter, just the illusion of him being close, can heal somebody. Something's wrong here, though. Who were they worshiping? Peter. Man. And see, no matter what God does, people still want to go back and put it on the person. Peter was a vessel. Every man or woman God has chosen is a vessel. And they're not to be worshipped. What did Jesus say? Don't worship me, worship God. Worship God. And the people still want to go back to worshiping people. You get somebody today speaking something in the churches, and if they're a real good speaker, what do? They worship the man or the woman. They worship them. It's not true. It's not the way it should be. Sure it is. It's exactly what it is. Same thing. The carnal mind has millions of different angles. They'll try one of them until it gets what it wants, or until you put a sword through it, whichever comes first. It said, verse 16, there came also a multitude out of the cities round about to Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and them which were troubled by unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Now, an unclean spirit. I don't know where you stand in it, but I stand in a different position than I stood years ago. I used to think there was demons and devils hiding behind every salt and pepper shaker on the table in a restaurant. Wrapped in amongst the napkins, in the pop cans, anywhere you could think of, there could have been a demon. Because that's what we listen to. When we listen to humanity, we hear those kind of things, don't we? You read books written about demons. How about something written about Christ? There's one already written right here. This is enough. Okay? But I've came to understand that the accuser is nothing more than the carnal mind. So his demons and devils or his evil spirits are nothing more than thoughts coming through that carnal mind, which was my mind. Okay? And your mind. I know people don't want to hear my mind's the devil. Well, you can believe what you want to, but I know what it is. It's our own minds that we got to deal with. Each individual has a mind they have to deal with. If I deal with my mind, it isn't going to help you one bit, is it? That's why Paul said, you have to walk out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You've got to do it yourself. I can help you, but I can't do it for you. You've got to be involved in it. Then the high priest rose up, and all that were with him, which is of the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, or literally jealousy. Why? Here we are, Sadducees, part of the Pharisee, the religious group, right? And they're jealous because someone is getting something accomplished. Well, hey, we're all working for the same purpose, quote, supposedly, aren't we? All the different churches out here are working closely together, right? Wrong. Because they're all promoting their own kingdoms. We should be serving the one true God. But when you have your own agenda, your own doctrines, guess what? It's not going to happen. Jealousy is going to come out of there. And you know what comes after jealousy? Murder. When Cain was jealous of Abel, guess what? He ended up murdering his brother. When you have jealousy in your heart towards somebody, guess what's going to happen? Look at today, how many people, jealousy. We had this astronaut thing here. The woman was jealous and went out and tried to whack her opponent, you know, because she was maybe going to get the man. It happens all the time. Jealousy comes to the fact that people want to kill somebody to get what somebody's trying to get from them. I don't think that's the way God intended us to think. Anyway, they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in a common prison or a public prison. And the messenger of the Lord, through the night, opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple, and that word temple is the natural temple, the Hieron, to the people all the words of this life. What life? The life that we're living right now in the natural? He's saying, hey, this messenger of God said, you go into that natural temple, you go in and tell all them people all the words of this spiritual life we're talking about that we have shown you. Do you think that made anybody happy? Don't think it made the church folk happy. Let me read it out of the New American Standard. In the New American Standard it says, go your way, stand and speak to the people in the temple the whole message of this life. the whole message of this life. Not part of it. Remember what Paul said, I've not held back anything, but I've told you the whole message. Acts 20, verse 27, 20, 27, and 35, I think it is. Yeah, Paul said in Acts 20, verse 27, "For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." Verse 20, he said, "I kept back nothing, but it was profitable to you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house." And verse 35 in that same chapter says, "I have showed you all things." Paul said it three times in one chapter. You think he's trying to tell you something? He said, "I didn't keep anything back from you." Religion says, don't tell everybody because they're not able to digest or process these thoughts. Well, if God said it, you have a right to hear it. And then you make up your mind. See, again, that's someone thinking for you, which is not of God. If someone thinks for you, you have no life. You're living their life. Okay? Let me read that in the New International Version, NIV. It says, "Go stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people the full message of this new life." Hello? Tell them the full message. Why? Because the church world will never tell you the full message because they don't know it. I'm not condemning the church world. I'm just telling you they don't have enough to tell you the full message, do they? Okay, back to where we're at. Verse 21. "And when they heard, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came and they that were with him and called the Sanhedrin council together and all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought." Well, I didn't like that idea, did they? But at least when they heard it, they immediately went and did what they were told at the temple. What do you think the temple is? What's the temple of God? We are. So, you know, we're supposed to tell this truth. We don't necessarily have to go to the whole world and stand on top of the roofs and scream it to somebody, but we do need to speak it where we can hear it. Do you know if you don't speak the word of God, you'll probably never hear it? Hello? If you don't speak it, you'll probably never hear it. God told me that a long time ago. If you want to hear the truth, you better find it because no one else is going to tell it to you. I don't mean I'm the only one in the world has truth. I'm just saying I have enough desire. I want the truth. And it's tough to walk in the truth. You show me one man or woman of God in this Bible that didn't get persecuted. If you think knowing the truth of God is going to make it a rose garden, you missed the whole book. You didn't read the book. Because everyone that carried the truth was carried a responsibility of God and was condemned for it, was tortured for it, was killed for it. This is not something that happens lightly. Okay? "But when the officers came and found them not in prison, they returned and told, saying, 'The prison truly found we shut with all security, and the guards standing outside the doors. But when we opened the doors, we found no man inside.' Now, when the high priest and the captain of the temple," that's the literal temple, "and the chief priests," that's the high priests, plural, more of them, "heard these words," not things, but words, "they doubted," what? "Concerning those words, whereunto this would grow." They were saying, "Oh my God, what's going to happen? Here we put these guys in prison for speaking in not in the name of Jesus, but in the authority of Jesus the Christ. And we put them in jail and they just walked out of the prison. What in the world's going to happen? More, we tried to squelch this thing and it's just growing bigger. You can't stop it. It's going on." But they're concerned. "Then came one and told them, saying, 'Behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people.'" Exactly what they were told to do. "Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, because they feared the people lest they should have been stoned." See, religion is always worried about the multitudes. The only one you have to be worried about is your father. If your father tells you to do something, you should not have to go to humanity and ask, "Is it okay if I do it?" If you go to a church and belong to a church, I did. I sat there and I heard God speak things to me, and I went to a man who was a pastor of the church and said, "God said this." And he said, nope, can't do it, won't do it, won't permit it. I'm the boss here. And you know what? I didn't stay in that place very long. I only stayed as long as God made me stay there. When he was done, I was out of there. The day he said I could go, it created a vacuum in that place when I left. I was out. And that's the way it should be. God tells you to do it. Do it. Don't worry about what somebody else says. Don't worry about the majority overruling you, because God is the majority. Isn't He? He's the majority. And when they had brought them, they set them before the Sanhedrin council, and the high priest asked them, Did not we give you strict orders that you should not teach in this name or this authority? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your didache, your instructions, and intend or desire to bring this man's blood upon us. It's already there, baby. You already put the nails to him. You already hung him. See, they thought they'd got rid of that. They thought they'd got away from that, but it didn't happen, did it? Then Peter, right? And Peter is a piece of the rock. And the other apostles responded and said, they did this all together, we ought to obey. Literally, it's necessary that we submit to the authority of God rather than men. We submit to the authority of God. It's necessary to submit to the authority of God more than the authority of man. Does that make sense? Now, the world don't see it that way. Church world don't see it that way. I know when I was in church world, and this pastor was teaching, supposedly, people how to be preachers. And you know what he said? You always go back and give honor to the man who taught you. I said, well, God taught me. He said, no, see, that's pride you're walking in. He said, you're supposed to tell them that the preacher's the one that trained you. Well, I never did say that. Because that man, although that man did teach me a lot of things, he taught me in the negative, which is fine. I learned from it. He made me a better person. But he thought he was doing great things, but guess what? They weren't great things, I'm going to tell you. It changed me, but he didn't get any reward for it, I guarantee you that. Oh, he's got one. He's probably not the one he wants, though. Not the one he wants. And the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Said, you killed him. Him has God exalted with his authority. The right hand speaks of authority. A prince not to be. The words to be are added. He has always been the prince, hasn't he? He was before time. And a deliverer, not a savior, but a deliverer, to give repentance, or give the gift of repentance to Israel. A gift of repentance. Did you hear what I just said? He gave the gift of repentance. If repentance is a gift, how can you brag about it? How can the church world run around and say, I asked Jesus to forgive me? It's a gift. What part of gift don't you understand? You didn't do anything for it. He gave it to you, didn't he? End of discussion. He gave it to you. You didn't earn anything. Only in your mind. He gave him repentance and freedom from sin. Freedom from sin. The word sin right there, sin's plural right there, is really singular. From sin. And we are his witnesses of these, what? Words. What was said. And also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that submit to his authority. That submit to his authority. When they heard that, they were cut and took counsel, or considered killing them. Then stood there up one in the Sanhedrin council, a Pharisee. You know what a Pharisee is? Beg pardon? Okay, let me read to you what a Pharisee really is. A sect that seems to have started after the Jewish exile, in addition to all the Old Testament books. The Pharisees recognized an oral tradition, a standard of belief in life. They sought for distinction and praise by outward observance of external rites and by outward forms of piety, and such as ceremonial washings, fastings, prayers, and almsgiving, and comparatively negligent of genuine piety. They prided themselves on their financial good works, or fancied good works. They held strenuously to a belief in extinction, existence of good and evil, angels, and to the expectation of a Messiah,
and they cherished the hope that the dead, after a preliminary experience either of reward or penalty in Hades, the grave, would be recalled to life by him and requited each according to his individual deeds. In opposition to the usurped dominion of the Herods and the rule of the Romans, they stoutly upheld the theocracy and their country's cause and possessed great influence with the common people. According to Josephus, they numbered more than 6,000. They were bitter enemies of Jesus and his cause, and in turn severely rebuked by him for their avarice and ambition, hollow reliance on outward works and affection of piety in order to gain popularity. That comes right out of the Greek's definitions, Thayer's Greek definition. So they believed in ultimately reconciling of all people too, but they had a lot of other garbage hanging on with it. Okay? So, what verse to leave off? 35? No, I didn't do all that. 34. They stood up one of them, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, and it says, "My recompense is God's," what his name means, a doctor of the law, okay, a rabbi, esteemed among all the people and commanded to put the apostles outside for a while. He said, "Put them men outside for a while we talk." And he said to them, "You men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you do to these men. Because prior to these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. And after this man rose up Judah of Galilee from the heathen circle in the days of the taxing," or right, "and drew away many people after him," okay, "he also died, and all, as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say to you, withdraw from these men and let them alone. Because if this counsel or this work be of humanity, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot possibly overthrow it. Perhaps you be found also fighting against God." You think there's a message in that? "Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm." Leave them alone. Just because you don't understand somebody, should you be bothering them? If you don't understand them, leave them alone. Just leave them alone. Even if they're wrong, let them be alone. Let them be alone and let them be wrong. I got a friend that says, everybody's entitled to their own ridiculous opinion. You are. You can have it if that's what you want. Don't worry about it. I'm not concerned with everybody else. I'm concerned with doing what I'm supposed to be doing. If everybody did that, wouldn't it be a wonderful place in this world? Then people wouldn't be wanting to go somewhere else, would they? They'd want to stay here. Verse 40, "And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and had scourged or thrashed them, they commanded that they should not speak in the authority of Jesus," okay, "and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council of the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his authority and his character. And every day in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and to announce the good news of Jesus the Anointed." They didn't shut up. You know what? You can't. I was told once I was a fanatic. Okay? You see, fanatics aren't created, they're born. See, people that have this drive to accomplish things is born in your nature and your character. And when God gets a hold of you, when he comes to collect his fruit, you have this nature in you to do everything to the extreme, to just get the most out of everything. That's the nature God desires. So when he takes you, he's not going to change you into something else, but he'll take that nature and refine the nature with the same drive behind it. Do you see the difference? He won't change that. He'll change your thinking process with the same drive. So you'll go after him as hard as you went after the world. I'll never forget, I was sitting in a meeting one time, and this pastor I was sitting under came to me, and he had a desire to shut me up because he said I was telling the people too many things. You know, he said, if you tell them everything, they'll know what we know. Excuse me, I thought that's what we were supposed to be doing, you know. It's no secret.
But he came to me right in the midst of everybody, and he threw his hand on top of my head, and he said, "Thus saith the Lord, you're a man of many words, but God's going to change you, and you're going to be a man of few words." And I laughed. I couldn't help it. I mean, I thought that was funny because God gave me this ability to talk, and this man was trying to shut me up. He thought he could throw his hand on my head and stop my words. He thought he was going to get it out, but he didn't. And I mean, you know, he meant well because he thought he knew more than everybody else, and he thought it would be better if we'd all did it his way. I just think this way. If that's his way, go with it. But that's not for me. I got to go my way, the way God is directing me to go. And that's what every individual person has to do. That's what this whole chapter showed you, that religion has always tried to bring you back and control you. They'll threaten you. They'll beat you. They'll do anything they can to try to get you into submission into that little old box called religion. And you know what? You still don't have to go there. Let them do what they want to do. They can't do anything about it. If it's God, what did the wise man at the end say, Gamaliel? If it's of man, it'll fall to naught. It'll be nothing. But if it's of God, you can't stop it. I've been prophesied against. I've had churches in this area praying against us years ago. Destroy this thing. Destroy this thing. It's not of God. Well, if it's not of God, what's it doing here? We're not out bothering anybody else. We're not out proselyting anybody from any other churches, trying to get them to come in. I don't advertise anything. In fact, you have to hunt for this place. There's no advertisement out there. There's no big neon sign saying, "This is the way." If God wants you here, you'll get here. I don't have to advertise. Right? That's the way God does things. He'll take care of it. I'm done. Anybody got anything?